Right by side of the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Rick Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain bastards as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh yeah, if you're bouncing and you're rocking, you know you got it on 90.3 WHPC Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island with your co-host, Ray Guarino, in studio guest, Cliff. Cliff's a good friend of the show and listener for many, many years. Cliff, pleasure to have you in with us today.
Thank you. It's definitely an honor to be here behind a mic.
Yeah, instead of on the phone, now you got to keep up live. We're doing this marathon for an hour. We are... you can get a hold of us if you want to give a call, 516-572-7440. We're going to have Mr. Aaron Bragman calling us from cars.com in a little while after our first segment. And we're going to talk about new muscle cars. What else? Because we talk about new and old muscle cars. If you want to get a hold of us or follow us, see what we do, you can go to Motor Mouth Radio on the interweb or on Twitter. And on Instagram, Joe's favorite, it's real_MotorMouthRadio. And that's where we post pictures of the things we get involved with during the week and our respective shops that we work at and projects that we get involved with. And actually, I have one in the queue right now because I did a job yesterday, the last 2 days at the shop, on I call it a late model. It's an 06 Mustang GT. Did camshafts. Camshaft swap. And I'll tell you something, you got that look in your eyes like, wow, really?
digging deep into that motor.
Yeah, it was really, you know, when we did a cam job on the cars in, like, from the past, you know, Chevy or Ford or Chrysler, whatever it was an all-day thing. I mean, you're taking most of the car apart. This all gets done without even lifting the car off the ground or taking, you know, it's just valve covers, dual overhead cam.
Wow, so it's two cams,
yeah,
right? And a lot of work, a lot of gaskets and stuff like that, or a lot of...
No gaskets besides valve cover. I mean, the valve cover, you can reuse those. It's a matter of just... There's a specific procedure. There's phaser rings on the front of the cam, and I'm pretty sure they tie in with the variable valve timing. So you have to deal with those. There's a tool you got to jam down into the valley to pinch the cam chain so it doesn't slip and fall down, but they supply that. You know, you buy this kit. And then the camshafts, they come out, they index into the phaser, use cam lube, bolt them back in, torque everything down. It takes longer to take all the stupid, the coil packs off and the fuel injector.
What were the symptoms to let you know that the cams were bad in the car?
It wasn't high performance enough.
Oh, so it was really just an upgrade.
No, the car ran great. Yeah, fantastic. Those three valve Ford engines, really, they honk, man. But
So let me ask you a question. You do that job, right? You're all done. Is that, and you get into the car and you turn the key. Do you like, you hold, do your other fingers, you have your fingers crossed?
Always. that's the thing, you know. Now, I didn't get to be there for the actual startup because I was working with Mike at the shop, and he had to leave to go do something. He had a family thing he had to be a part of. And I had to go and do some things myself. So I got the car back together, and then he was doing a tune also. You have to retune the computer. There's like the old days where you put the like
that's
a chip
the 4.6
in.
Motor, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the new tune takes into account, you know, the cam profile and the lift and all of that stuff. So, you know, he's more he's like the Joe D. That's kind of Mike's fare. He plus it's his car, so he wanted to do that. So I left the car ready to go, And I left, and then he came back after his event, and he worked on it. He put the tune in, took about 20 minutes to ingest it. And he sent me a short video. I tell you, it changes the whole exhaust profile of the car. I mean, you can just hear it. It's like if you put a hypo cam. You know, if you had your 383 and you took the regular stocker out and you threw in a nice...
A little thumpier, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you hear it.
Yeah.
And boy, you hear it.
Let me ask you a question. With these tunes now, right, which is... I'm not really up on all the stuff with the tunes. I have friends with the diesels. The tunes are really big with the diesel trucks now. But the car actually has to learn, right? It's not just programmed. Then you have to let it run and drive it. And it kind of teaches itself, right?
What
the program or the computer... kind of learns the tune.
That's right. It's just like the if you put a Holley projection on a car or the Fast EFI or any of those aftermarket fuel injection systems, you put one of those on your older car, it's a self-learning system. So there's enough of a baseline tune to start the car, and then as you drive it, it learns your driving style. So like if you're Danny from everybody, Danny, if you get in and it's like, bah, pedal to the floor, it learns, okay, I better like be high performance all the time. But if you get in and you drive it normally, you know, it'll kind of learn that, and it learns how you drive the car.
I know they were having some trouble with a diesel truck, a late model GMC diesel, and having trouble with the transmission wasn't shifting correctly after they did the tune. But then it was a bit of a problem with the software, and I guess they called the guy up, and the guy sent them something else, and they kind of plugged it into the computer, and then about a half hour of highway driving, it kind of relearned itself.
Yeah, there can be a lot of back and forth with that, a lot of tweaking to the system, if you will. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. That stuff has to be done. We'll be following up on this in the weeks to come, because it's not a done deal yet. It's fresh. So, and now the weather turning crappy, like, you know, you really can't go out and
do too much crazy
and do
stuff.
Too much, but. But if you, especially, you know, speaking of weather turning crappy, if you want to learn, you want to get up on this stuff on how to be safe, motormouthradio.com. We have a few articles on there. One of them is about fall driving hazards and tips. That's
So I was looking at your website this morning.
Were you? Okay.
And I saw a spot that I never saw before. It was pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
It was the word decoding.
Oh,
it was
yes.
The phrase decoding, and I thought it was very funny. If any of your listeners are watching now, they should actually go to the website. It's some great terminology on there. Two of the terms that I kind of wrote down here ask you about, and this is funny that you brought up the website, was the term Italian tune-up was on there.
Yes.
And the term monastery. So I wasn't getting it, you know.
Okay, well, Italian tune-up, that goes back to when Chris and I did the show. And that was something his father told him, we're going to go out and do the Italian tune-up. And basically what that was an old carbureted car, you know, with points and plugs. And they would foul up. They would take it over to Verrazano Bridge at like 80 miles an hour, just to the wood, you know. They're back to the shop, like in Staten Island or whatever, or in Brooklyn. And now the car ran better because you blew it out.
Oh, good. Okay, I get it. So I thought that was something from like Goodfellas or something.
No. When we say we're doing the Italian tune-up, no, that'd be the Italian heist job. Unless we got like wax and rags in the trunk, we're going to light the bamboo lounge up. You never know. And the monastery. Okay, the monastery, maybe we need to, I should go look at that. Maybe we need to clarify that a little. The UD is the garage where Joe hangs out a lot. It's the undisclosed location in Queens. That's as close as we can get to tell anybody where it is, where a lot of activity goes on. A lot of guys working on cars, a lot of cars stored, hence undisclosed. And the guys, the regular guys that hang out there with Joe, Doug and Johnny, they're a bunch of regular auto guy characters, you know, and character stuff goes on. So Joe started calling it the monastery because, of course, you think like there'd be priests or brothers in the monastery. And of course, this is far from what that is. It's absolutely the exact opposite.
Yes.
But I'm going to the library. Yeah, right. I'm going to the monastery. So it was kind of a jab at himself is what that was. So, but I'm glad you brought that up, because the decoder is a really cool, it's a cool thing for people. We realized that, you know, as we say certain terms on the show, people have no idea what we're talking about. So we made our own dictionary.
Yes, I was reading through it this morning. I was getting a kick out of some of it. And some of it was, I was like, I didn't know what certain terminology meant. And it's good to kind of to look at it.
In fact, I think there is something on there that the webmaster put up recently that he mentioned to me that I have to make. I got to go back and look, because I think I wanted to make a change to it. I think there was something I wanted to amend. Because, again, it's the way people interpret things too. Yeah. So again, I just wanted to make it right. But that's up there. Also, on our website, we have Spotify Music link. It's kind of dormant, but it's pretty full. We opened an account. People had mentioned, hey, they like the music that was on the show. Where do you get that? And I said, out of my CD collection. So it's all mine. So you can listen to the songs, some of the songs we pick on the show if you like. And if you do like it, let us know, and we'll continue to do it. Also, we have car and small engine winter storage tips up there and how to repair. Actually, this one was our friend Mark. Mark Trotter was a guy from up here. He did a whole thing on how to he rebuilt a hydraulic floor jack because he's one of those guys like us, do it yourself. And he said, hey, I'm going to make an article about this. He has a website. We put a link to that up there. That's something you want to look at because if you've never been inside of a floor jack, here's a guy doing it in his garage who, you know, it's like looking at a Haynes manual. Like they actually take it apart.
That's pretty cool because how many of those like really good old school jacks do people throw away?
Oh, yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you know, you're under the car and it's coming down.
Right. And you know what it is? Well, yeah, they if you're lucky, it drops slow. And the problem typically is it's just seals. It's a hydraulic, you know, it's a hydraulic chamber. And it's just seals to hold the oil in where it's supposed to be. And when they get old and dried out, the fluid can leak past and then the jack can lower. So it's like anything else. If you see the rebuild kit, it comes in a little plastic bag and you're like, okay, so it was $30 worth of seals in the gasket, maybe in a screw, but it's going to take you like maybe 4 hours to do this because now you're dealing with springs and, you know, it's the first time is always you know, the bear. But so that's great. We put that up and cross-linked to Mark's site, something you may want to check out. And, you know, we're always trying to keep things fresh on there. And then you can go to the decoder and see what kind of terms that we use to see what the heck we're talking about. Because we can be a cryptic. I mean, you know, Cliff, you grew up the same way. You know, when you're with the guys in the street, you talk a certain way, you say certain things, and you guys know what's going on. But you ever notice, like, if a guy was from, you know, doesn't have to be from out of state, but you're in Queens. Maybe there's a guy from Nassau or Suffolk comes over and you know, like, you see people, you can tell when people are out of their element. Like, they don't understand.
I think that carries over to, like, almost every bit of life. If you're in Pennsylvania, what we call a hero sandwich is called a hoagie.
Right.
Right? And, you know, different people call different things, or they call it a grinder, right?
Yes. So
it's like every kind of subject has their own, you know, you cross the state line and you're talking a different language.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. And us car guys do, too, because I've heard, like Chris used to say to Joe all the time, you know, when Joe would go into a diagnostic thread, and he'd say, oh, all I hear is it's all clicks and pops. You know, I just hear you saying, because you don't understand that language, and it is a language. But if two guys who do that get together, and they're just sitting there buzzing, you could sit back and say, wow, this is like a freak show here. What the hell are these guys? But they obviously know what they're doing.
Yes, yeah. And some of these car shows you watch on TV, the stuff that's like out west and down south in Memphis, definitely a lot of different terminology than the local guys here in Long Island have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I could hear my wife and daughter sitting there talking, and I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? You know, it's like, again, it's like, okay, that's your conversation, not mine. You know, it's like, sorry, dear. You know, I'd love to help you out, but no. But, yeah, so we like to embrace that, and we share it because we realize that not everybody knows that stuff. So, yeah, we just kind of share it, throw it around. So if you have any questions about our decoder, give us a call, 516-572-7440, and we'll talk about it. And, you know, or whatever else is coming up. So the cars are now, most of the cars are now in storage for the winter, right?
Yeah, it's, as I was coming here, a little bit of snow.
Mm.
I had my first time, I'll get to check out I have the XTS4 now. Mm. And I'll see how it is in the slippery weather.
Right, right. That's, I'm sure it'll be okay. You know, now it's on the website, but here's something, my tip is go out and check your tire pressures. Because for every 10-degree drop in temperature, you lose 1 PSI of pressure. And for every 10-degree rise, you gain 1 PSI. So now we have TPMS lights in the car. And it's great because now I see when I'm getting gas, I see a line of people at the air pump that you never saw before. Because now all of a sudden people are learning like, oh, that light is on. Let me go check. Yay! Finally, you're going to check your air.
And you know, a lot of people are having a problem with those, what the TPI valve, is that what they call TPI valves? The valves that actually send out, is it like a radio signal that it?
Yes.
Maybe you can explain to people how that works.
Yeah. It's, well, TPMS is tire pressure monitoring sensor is what all it is. It's a sensor that's actually the valve stem where you put the air. On the other side of that is a device that's the sensor, holds a battery. That's inside the tire. That's inside the rim. So the batteries will go bad over time at some point.
So they do have a life expectancy, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if you curb this thing hard enough and happen to hit by where the valve is, you can also do some damage. So that's the other thing. But they sense the pressure in the tire. It's a pressure sensor. And it's tied to the light on the dash to let you know. Now, some cars, like my wife's Cruze, I can go into a mode and it'll show me the pressures of all four tires. That's great. You know, so now I know which one.
Yeah, I leave that up on my screen now. I have it. And I've seen like a 4 or 5 pound difference in the past couple of days.
Yeah. So the thing is, if you're starting a little low as it is, and then the temperature drops by 20 or 30 degrees, you're going to go down 2 or 3 more PSI. And all these systems have a threshold. They have a percentage of when they'll turn that light on. And the car manufacturers, they're not the same. There's a variance of it. So, it'll turn the light on and it's to let you know, hey, go, check tire pressure. But it is very important this time of year, of course, when the weather changes, because, where the rubber meets the road, as they say, is where the business happens. That's what makes the car stop. The braking force is, that was an old quiz question, an ASE question. What makes the car stop? Is it the brakes on the pads, the rotor? No, it's the rubber on the road that actually makes the car stop. The brakes could be clamping all day long, and if you got bald tires, you're skidding. You're not stopping.
Generally, I guess when people are getting a new set of tires, they're not replacing those sensors, right? I mean, they're kind of reusing them?
Or? Yeah, you can reuse them, sure. You can reuse them, unless they're bad. So, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our break. I want to tell you about your family's health. Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on this fine station, Professor Janine Cook-Garrard from the NCC Nursing Department discusses health issues concerning all of us. Good show. Check it out. We are going to go take a break. I think we're going to go visit the Wild Side Cliff, and then we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
WHPC invites you to meet Rebecca Fannin, internationally recognized journalist and author of Tech Titans of China, on Tuesday, December 3rd at 11:30 on the 11th floor of the Tower Building on the campus of Nassau Community College. In her book, Ms. Fannin discusses strategies for companies interested in competing with China, specifically to develop an understanding of China's grand tech ambitions, who the players are, and what their strategy is. She provides readers with the ammunition they need to prepare and compete. All are welcome. More information is available online at ncc.edu.
This program is brought to you by the Gramercy Theater in New York City, who welcomes the Noise Presents Issues, The Beautiful Oblivion Tour for 2 shows, Friday, December 6th and Monday, December 9th. Listen to win tickets on Tuesday nights at 8 during the Rock Binge on WHPC. More information is available online at thegramercytheater.com or ticketmaster.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Oh, yeah, we're on the wild side. Motor Mouth Radio back in the house. Ray Guarino in with Cliff, and we got ourselves a call. Let's go to the line and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Aaron Bragman calling in.
Hey, Aaron, how are you? You've got Ray Guarino and my co-host for the day, Cliff, in the studio today. Anxious to talk with you.
Hello, gentlemen. Good to talk to you as well.
Yes. All right, so we found out through Cars.com, you wrote this fantastic article on the most popular muscle cars of 2019.
Well, the ones that are most researched on our website, yeah.
Tell us about it, please.
Well, we've got a lot of great stuff out there right now. I mean, we really are kind of operating in the golden age of muscle cars. It's extraordinary to see what you can buy with just a suitcase full of cash and going down to your local Ford or Chevy or Dodge dealer and walking out with something with over 500, 600, 700 horsepower. It's just extraordinary. And really, it's exciting. It's an exciting time to live in. If you're, especially if you're a car enthusiast, there's just so much really cool stuff out there.
Yeah, it's absolutely. You know, Cliff and I, we both have older, what do you call classic muscle cars? You know, the yeah. troglodyte cars, the carbureted rubber shredding, you know, the you know, we have crank windows in our cars, you know. So
we thought they were high horsepower back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were high horsepower back in the day. I mean, but I just recently drove the new Mustang GT500 out at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. They had Ford had a big event out there, and they brought a bunch of journalists out, and they had on hand a 67 GT500 to drive as a comparison test. The guys from Hagerty brought it out.
Right.
And it's such an amazing difference to drive the thing. Super skinny steering wheel. I mean, it's still quick. It still makes lots of great noise.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just such a night and day difference from what you can get these days.
Sure, sure. Well, Cliff, you had a new Challenger, you know? So
yes, I had a SRT8.
Oh, fun.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. It's a different world. I mean, if you could have both, the best of both worlds is the best thing.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I had to narrow it down to one or the other. So my only thing with some of the newer ones are I feel like, you know, depending on which car it is, every year you have it, you know, the value comes down on it a little bit. Whereas sometimes if you have an older car, if you're lucky, sometimes it'll stay the same value, maybe goes up a little bit. Maybe if it comes down a little bit, it's not as drastic. Mm. But if you could have both, the best of both worlds is the best. There's nothing like, you know, the SRT8 I had was an 09. I think that was like 425 horsepower back then. And, you know, but with the air conditioning on, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's a different kind of thing. That was a great, and some of these, like, as you're right, some of these new cars like the Hellcats and these amazing new, you know, out of showroom cars. You know, you turn the key and you have 700 horsepower. And
we actually do some drag strip testing for some of these new ones. We took a Challenger Hellcat Red Eye out to the strip, and Dodge makes the claim that it's a 10-second car right out of the showroom floor.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we got the thing to run 1088 at 126 in Union Grove, Wisconsin. It's nuts. It's the street tires. And, you know, some reduced pressure. We talked to some of the Dodge engineers, and they tell you how to set it up just right and what electronic buttons you need to push inside to switch traction control to various settings. But, I mean, somebody who's only, you know, I'd say amateur skilled like myself in terms of drag racing, my managing editor, my boss, he's got an F-body, a 90s F-body that he drag races all the time. But for me, I mean, I get in the thing, you know, 4 or 5 times a year, maybe, when I go out and test something like this, and I'm able to put this thing into the tens. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Sometimes we'll go down on Sunday mornings to Captree, which is the big cruise place in the area, and there's a couple of guys down there with Dodge Demons, the new Dodge Demon, and I think they have that's the one that has the back seat and the passenger seat is an option. I mean, those cars are out of the box are just ridiculous, you know, and even the
those are 9-second car.
The tires on them almost look like slicks out of the factory.
I know.
Aaron, here's the problem with
No, I was going to ask you, back in your automotive past, what were the cars of your love as you were growing up? Or, you know, did you have any notable ones that were that you still own, maybe, or that stick out?
Yeah. Well, you see, for me, I grew up, my high school was the 90s. And so for me, a lot of that 90s stuff that you're now starting to see show up at shows like Radwood all over the country are the ones that I lusted after. When I was a kid, I wanted a 91 Dodge Stealth RT Twin Turbo. That was my childhood. Wow, look at that kind of car. Growing up, my father didn't have muscle cars. He was of the British car variety. So we had classic Triumphs, which is exactly the opposite of anything muscle car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had a 60 TR3, you had a 64 TR4, and a 71 Stag, which was actually kind of rare.
Stag is cool.
Didn't the Stag, people used to do a V8 Chevy conversion in them?
Well, yeah, it came with a Rover engine.
A kit where you could put a small block Chevy in it, right?
I almost bought a Stag. There was a guy on Sunrise Highway had one, and I was going to pick it up. But I'm thinking, to mate that Chevy engine with what transmission and the Stag rear end, that would be the...
But those British cars were driver's cars. I mean, you really had to be a driver to get in them and drive them.
That's why I stuck with my Fiat.
And not any more or less reliable than that Triumph.
Stag
was beautiful, but it never ran right a day in its life. And my dad tried everything to get that V8 to stick.
Did you wrench on those cars with your dad, Aaron, or was it just something that was around you?
No, No, we didn't. I mean, Dad's skills didn't run towards that. He really just preferred to have somebody else wrench on him and then enjoy it. And he was part of the Detroit Fan Sports Car Club, one of the founding members of the thing. Right. And we did all kinds of BTR events around the country, went to try and register. I mean, we'd go out to the Poconos from Detroit, and they had events out there. So, I mean, it was he used it more as a social club and enjoying the cars. I mean, we always enjoyed cars. But my family, being Detroit area based, we worked in the factories. My grandfather worked at the Ford Rouge plant building Mustangs when he was back in the day. And my grandparents all worked for the automakers in some various capacity as well. So it's been something I've grown up with. It's something that's in the culture out here in Detroit area.
The thing that, you know, we've had other guys on the show from your area who have a very similar lineage. And usually by the time someone gets to us, that was the person in the family who went to school. Yeah, like went to college and got a degree. And now, but still works in the industry like yourself on the writing end, which is, which is great because your history is so rich. Yeah, you can draw from that well. So
it is. It's interesting. The stuff, my personal past, I mean, I worked in the industry for 10 years. I worked for Bosch for a while. I worked for Nissan for a while on the program development and actual vehicle development end of it. So I don't have an engineering degree, but I worked in a lot of that kind of product planning and program development stuff. So I've got that background, and I've also got the writing background where I can do a lot of the fun stuff and bring a lot of the creative ability to communicate these kinds of technical issues out to the people.
Well, that's it. We do need to be able to communicate the thoughts, and that's where people like you come in. Great. So with the newer cars, where does your allegiance lie to the GM side, the Ford, or the Chrysler, or none of the above?
Man, that's hard. I mean, specifically, I've always had a specific love for the Challenger, for the Dodge stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sports car, the Dodge Challenger is not the greatest. I mean, I love it as a muscle car. Yeah. And there's a difference between a muscle car and a sports car. And for me, I've always called the Challenger the ultimate fat guy sports car. And being a fat guy myself, this is exactly perfect, right up my alley. The seats are big and wide. The interior is huge. You can see out of it great. I mean, you park a Challenger next to, like, a Toyota Corolla, and it's just amazing how much the thing just dwarfs this now almost mid-sized Toyota. But it is comfortable. It's fast. It's got that retro style that they've been able to update really well. But they all have their strengths. I mean, I really love the way the Mustang drives. When you get in the Mustang, and it's just so beautifully balanced. And the new 10-speed transmission that they have, and they've made that up with all their V8s, the 10-speed is outstanding. It's really just extraordinary transmission and what they can do with it on the track. It's a little fussier on the streets. I'm not a huge fan of it there.
Okay.
But in terms of the powertrain development across the board, Ford's really done, I think, very well.
Yeah. Oh, they've definitely been keeping up with their racing heritage. And, yeah, there are no slouches over there. You know, I mean, everybody. And what that does, it's great because it makes the next guy step up his game and sharpen his sword and come back. You know, there's no slouching right now in the car game. You got to be on your stuff.
Yeah. Now, the big question is really, where do they go from here, though? Because, you see, everybody's kind of moving into the crossovers, and everybody wants a new crossover utility vehicle. And I'm afraid that a lot of these muscle cars, maybe on some of their last days, we keep hearing rumors that there may not be a next Camaro, that the current Camaro you're looking at is the last one. And the sales aren't going great. There's not a huge following anymore. I mean, they came in fourth in terms of sales to a lot of the other muscle cars out there. So you're wondering, you're hoping that GM will keep it around in some form or another. The Camaro platform is fantastic. The Alpha platform that they build it on is so versatile, but they're getting rid of all their cars.
Yeah, the only problem is trying to see out of that car. It is tough.
Or put a big suitcase in the trunk. Good luck with either one of those things.
You know, the thing that makes that I think of when you made that comment was like a Durango with a Hellcat or a Blazer with an LS9. You know, why not?
Yeah. Well, I'm of the opinion that a sport utility sports vehicle, sports car, sport utility, you can't even get a good name for it. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
I mean, it's fun out on the street, but there's nobody out there that's going to take a sport utility vehicle to a track day and have fun with that. That's the car you use to pull the track car to the track, or that you put all the big tires in the back and you drive it along with the other car. But, I mean, I've driven a lot of these new sports vehicles. I mean, like the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio is an amazing vehicle. I mean, 2.9-liter twin-turbo V6, and it makes just ungodly power. And I've driven it on a track at Circuit of the Americas down in Austin, but I would never want to buy one to take it for a track day. It's just not what you want to drive. The center of gravity is just too high. They don't behave like a sports car.
Well, then again, you could I could extrapolate and say if I was to drive an older sports car, like a Triumph or a Fiat or something, mm-hmm. that yeah. you really had to elbows and knees stab and steer that thing and control the car. And then we get into a new one that's all traction controlled and power controlled. It's kind of the same switchover. Like, it's just a different way of doing the same thing.
Do you yeah. find, I guess, in your business, do you have an idea of, like, the comparison between the people that actually buy the vehicles over the people that lease the vehicles? I could see, like, a lot of these cars have kind of, the prices have reached, you know, pretty high rates. And yeah. a lot of people can't afford to buy them, but they could possibly afford to lease them.
Yeah.
Yes, that's actually very true. When you look into some of the luxury market stuff, especially when you look at the high-end Mercedes and high-end Lexus, BMW stuff, that the leasing takes up a much larger percentage of the actual sales than actually purchasing one outright. And to that regard, it's not really their car, but they're not really going to be using it as a sports machine. That's not going to be an enthusiast track weekend kind of thing. It's going to be their commuter vehicle. It's going to be their everyday vehicle. So it doesn't have the same kind of focus as, you know, somebody that buys a specialty sports car and actually purchases it outright. And some of these vehicles you can't lease just about any price. You look at some of these high-end sports cars, they don't want to lease them to you because, you know, they don't want them back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they know you're going to beat the heck out of them. They don't want it back. I didn't deal with that.
Jeep has a Grand Cherokee on that. That's above the SRT8. It's what's it, supercharged one?
Yeah.
And I think the price on that is like... The price on that's like $80,000 or $90,000, right?
Wow,
it's way up there. I mean, I'm not exactly, but I find it like a crazy price for a vehicle like that. And I feel like you buy that vehicle and you have it a year and it has to plunge though in value. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they generally do. I mean, well, the thing is, the trick now is to find out, as you were saying earlier, you know, your old cars are going up in value. The trick is to find out what are the specialty models from now that you can hold on to for 10, 20, 30 years, and those will be the ones that go up in value, you know, 30 years from now. You know, if you can find gasoline 30 years from now.
Yeah, right. Tesla.
I'm definitely a Mopar guy, but I see Ford really seems to be coming out with a lot of these limited, like the Mustangs and a lot of the limited edition ones. And they had like the Bullet. A lot of cool, you know, concepts.
They'll run the gamut. Aaron, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. Can I keep you on while we take care of
your
business? All right. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Less about a minute. And we're going to pay a few bills. We're going to go visit the, our softer sides, where the girls are, right? We always have girls that are behind us on the show on Motormouth Radio. We will be back in about a minute. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
All right, we're back with the girls, with the guys. Ray Guarino in with Cliff today, and we have Aaron Bragman from CarsKnock.com on the phone with us, and we're talking new muscle cars. Aaron.
Yes.
I just had a thought on the break. Cliff and I just jawboned something. My thought is, in a few years, what's the state of these cars going to be? And I come from a service perspective, so I think, what's it going to be like to work on these cars? Yeah, well, I just worked on what I consider a later model Mustang. It was an 06, but for me, that's late. And, you know, the way things are done and the way things are crammed into the cars is getting kind of tough. So
yeah, well, I mean, if you've worked on a late model Ford of any kind, they use something I call the gallon of water test. At least they must use this, and that they open up the engine bay, they pour in a gallon of water on the top, and if any of it comes out the bottom, they redesign the engine bay.
That's good point. Well, I know there are a couple sockets. Like, yeah. I know a couple sockets and bolts that we dropped. We had a hard time finding them on the bottom. So
exactly.
Yeah.
No, my first car out of college, believe it or not, was a brand new 97 Ford Mustang SVT Cobra.
Nice.
And just being able to, swap out the plugs in that thing is just a knuckle-bruising, bloody affair to try and get that in. So in the future, though, here's the thing. A lot of the future trends we're looking at are based around electrification, about hybridization. So a lot of the future of the muscle cars may just be, either partially electric or fully electric. I mean, if it's fully electric, your maintenance issues, pretty much go out the window. There really isn't much you need to do except, change brakes and tires every now and then. And there's no oil. There's no other spark plugs. There's nothing. There's no fuel system to begin with.
True.
But it may be a little bit easier to actually do what you need to do on these things. If you need to do anything at all, or even if you can do anything at all on these vehicles, a lot of them are just going to require you to take it to a dealer and have them do something to it.
Yeah, true. I always look at, we're backyard guys. We came up from doing this when we were kids, and now we do some of us, we do it a little bit professionally, too. We get paid to do it. But so I think about that, always that service aspect.
I don't know if the electric cars, what the future is going to be. It's interesting. It is interesting to see. Like, what's going to happen to these guys that have these shops in the neighborhood?
It sets, a lot of them have gone away already. But it sets up like, two. I look at the duality of it, like how high can the horsepower really go? And then like the electric and gas paradigm, like are we going to be shifting that way? And is the horsepower, like I'm looking at it like a graph. I'm thinking about like my scanner, which is looking at the fuel trims. That's how I'm picturing it. And what do you think?
Well, you talk to Chevrolet Engineering and you talk to the Chevy engineering guys, and this was exactly the thought they were having when they were developing the new mid-engine Corvette, the new CA Corvette,
right?
Because they'd reached the plateau. I mean, they've reached the horsepower plateau. They couldn't do anything more, really, with horsepower. They couldn't get the C7 Corvette any more powerful without starting to get into some real issues. And so what they had to do was they had to change up the whole architecture. They had to really rearrange where the weight was in the car, how the center of gravity worked, where the pivot and rotate points are. And in order to do that, they almost had to go mid-engine in order to go to the next generation of Corvette to make it better, to make it faster, make it handle like they wanted to. So you may see some of that reconfiguration of the vehicle. Electrification can help in this as well, in that you've got expensive heavy batteries and you're able to put them pretty much in various different places in the vehicle to affect the way it's balanced. So if you've got a lot of these heavy batteries, you put them down low, you've really lowered your center of gravity, it makes it handle better, it makes it make the weight distribution what you really want to make it. So there's advantages to that, and it's not so much even it needs more power, it's just how is it using that power and how are you constructing the car in order to deliver the power and handling you want it to do.
Right. It's interesting because the acceleration in these electric cars is totally a different ball game, right, Ray? It's like instantaneous as compared to the combustion engine. They say I personally haven't driven one, but the people I've talked, my brother-in-law has one, and he says you step on the gas or the electric, it's not a gas pedal anymore. Yeah. You step on a switch, and it just goes like it. Just no hesitation. It's instantaneous.
Right. Yeah, you've got all that torque available right at zero RPM, which is a characteristic of an electric motor. And so when you put your foot in it, I mean, that's what really surprises people about even more mundane electric cars. Like we actually have we lease a Chevrolet Bolt EV, which is one of those small little electric, they call it a crossover, but it's small. It's kind of a little subcompact thing. And the surprising torque on that is just unbelievable. It's a little rocket ship, and you wouldn't think to look at this frumpy-looking little thing that it could actually accelerate as it does, but it does. And that's what really sells a lot of people on electric cars is when they get in them and drive them, the experience is quite something.
Well, I got an idea, Ray, though. With all these new electric cars coming out, I think they're going to have to come out like a recording of an exhaust system, though.
It's been done. Been done. Yeah, they've already done that.
Some people want to hear that exhaust.
I know. Go on, Aaron.
They just introduced the new Mustang Mach-E at the Los Angeles Auto Show. I haven't heard about this. It was all over the news until the Tesla Cybertruck showed up and bumped them off the news cycle.
Right.
But the Mustang Mach-E actually has different recorded noises, from what I understand, that you can. And the sportiest GT setting actually has kind of a growly noise to it. I mean, that's what's missing in a lot of electric cars, though, performance vehicles, is that there's no oral audio excitement into any of it. There's no drama. It's just, you go. But there's no roar.
You know, to that point, it was a number of years ago, there was an electric battery-powered motorcycle, and the manufacturer came out with a soundtrack that sounded kind of surprisingly like a Harley-Davidson. And, you know, Harley-Davidson took offense, and then went to court and sued them. And if you've ever heard a big twin Harley, it's that potato sound. And they sued and won.
Wow.
Because they likened it to the MGM Lion or the NBC or the chimes.
Yes.
Ding, ding. If you hear that, you know what
it's
a
proprietary sound.
It's like Coke and Pepsi.
Absolutely.
You see that? And they won the case.
Wow.
They shut them
isn't
down.
Talking about Harley. Isn't Harley coming out with some kind of
electric bike? They do have electric bikes, yes.
But it's expensive.
Oh, well, of course. It's Harley Davidson.
It's like $25,000, $30,000. Yeah, it's crazy expensive for what it is.
You know, I'll segue that into one of my other my other hobbies and my addictions is tools. You know, that I'm a tool nut, right? And I know our good buddy Clay Kuhn from Kuhn Trucking down in Mississippi is on the road listening to us today. He just did a video. You got to check this out. Go to look for Kuhn Trucking on YouTube. You'll find a ton of stuff. Matco Tools and Matco Man Brian can attest to this, our other good friend. They just came out with a half-inch drive brushless impact gun, 1,600 breakaway foot-pounds of torque. The thing is a beast. I mean, it'll break impact sockets. So I'm thinking, you know, wow, if the tools now are breaking the tools that were designed to work with it, it's like something's got to step up again or, like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Technology.
Cool, yeah, where does it end? You know, like, Aaron, we were just, Cliff and I were saying when we were back, you know, in our youth, and we said, oh, yeah, gee, 300, 400 horsepower, it's never going to go. If you would have told me you could buy a 800 horsepower car out of the factory, race cars only had 500 back then, I would have said, the banana peels, put them away, you know.
Jeez. The extraordinary thing is my 97 SVT Cobra had 305 horsepower. So I'm a dual overhead cam 48 valve V8.
Right.
And now the base model Mustang with the turbocharged 2-liter four-cylinder has more horsepower than that.
Four-cylinder, that's
right. Four-cylinder, that's the turbo boost, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the 2.3, not 2-liter. Yeah,
exactly.
But still, I mean, that's crazy.
Well, we're in good, you know, they say we'd never see the muscle car era again. We are. We are right now. It's just, you know, everything old is new again. It's just...
This is definitely the time. If you're looking for a deal and that you can take a suitcase full of cash down to your local dealer and walk out with an incredibly powerful muscle car, you can do it. I mean, and they're civilized. You can drive them every day. They've got navigation systems and air conditioning and automatic transmissions. And it's just, it's the golden age of muscle cars now, folks.
I still wish there was a new GTO. Anyway. All right. Well, Aaron, tell people how they can find you or get in touch with you or find your work.
Absolutely. Well, we are cars.com, and most people are familiar with us in terms of being able to buy and sell and research a new car from wherever you are. But we also have a pretty extensive news organization as well. So cars.com/news, and you can actually find all the news of the day, new vehicle reviews. We do all kinds of testing. We've done drag racing stuff as well. We're also on YouTube. You can find those videos out there and whatnot. But it's a great place to go if you're looking for a new car, if you're trying to find something, or if you just want to research and read about some cool stuff. We have that too.
Excellent. Aaron Bragman, you're the Detroit Bureau Chief of Cars.com, which is great. We thank you for coming on the show. We had a great time with you. And
my pleasure, guys.
And we hope to have you on again in the future. We'll talk about future trends whenever you so feel fit.
Would love to.
All right, Aaron. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
Nick, here. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye. So long. And like I said, Bureau Chief of Cars.com, Aaron Bragman. Great, great stuff. Also, the other place we like to keep up on our news is automoblog.net. That's those guys are great. They do kind of the same thing, current trends, and they delve into history and all sorts of great stuff. You want to check them out as well. There's a link to Automoblog on our website. And we'll see about cars.com. We may just link them up as well. So we're going to hit the last segment of our show, Cliff. Let's take another quick break. We'll take a breather. We'll visit. We'll dance on some glass over here because we're actually stepping on the glass while we're doing the show. We might as well dance on it as well. And we'll be back in the last segment. You can give us a call 516-572-7440. Ray Guarino in with Cliff today. 90.3 WHPC Motor Mouth Radio.
have you seen DJ Solero?
No, why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll look for him. Maybe he got something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone can figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may not have heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when the Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about the Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead and tell everybody when to listen.
Okay, whatever. So if you're looking for some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session. Now at a brand new time, late Friday nights or early Saturday mornings at 2 a.m., depending on how you look at it. Exclusively on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All hit music.
For all those songs radio has forgotten about, join me, Big Ed, Mondays from 10 a.m. till noon for the Good Gold Show. We'll bring back all the great hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and more. The sounds of doo-wop to disco, all the Motown, soul, and great rock and roll. We'll even take your requests and dedications to the Good Gold Show.
Music.
On the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, yeah, we're back with the crew. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino in with Cliff today. We're holding the helm and talking about new and old muscle cars and our propensities for both and the things we like about them. And any plans for your ride for the upcoming season, Cliff?
You know, I would have liked to get it out on a Sunday morning again to Cattery if the weather, you know, if there's no salt on the ground.
Yep.
And it's nice to get out early, and the colder it is, the better the car drives, actually. Yeah. You know, runs good in the cold weather. So
They do.
Yeah. So I kind of leave it open. I'm not like one of those guys that it's like away for the whole winter. You know,
right.
just on a trickle charger and throw a cover on it. But if you ever get a great day, I'll pop it out.
Right. Me too. All right. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go back to the fun. And we're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Oop, we dropped the call. So let's try it this way. We'll go back to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing, Ray? It's Mike.
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
What's going on? How are you?
Very good. We just wrapped up with Aaron Bragman from Cars.com talking about all those new muscle cars and the hot stuff, man, you know?
Very good. Yeah, I'm down here doing an oil change on my girlfriend's car at the shop and sitting and staring at my Mustang with the cams and the painted valve covers. So
yeah.
It's all thanks to Dr. Ray and his talent of cars.
Ah, come on! You had as much of a hand in that job as I did. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, we were both scared about those phaser bolts, but we got it done.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the thing, Mike. Like we talk, when you do something for the first time, that's the first time I've done that job. You're a little bit of. There's always a little bit of stepping off, looking at the edge of the cliff. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
No pun intended. You sit next to Cliff.
Exactly. That's why I looked at him when I said that.
But now you can knock one out, like probably in half or
it would take less
of time, right?
Well, like I said, a lot of the stuff in the beginning, it's all the wires and the connectors, and those harnesses have to move, and you want to be careful
with the connectors. You don't want to snap any pins.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was all well worth it though, because once that tune went in, that took about 20 minutes, and it started up, and finally. You know, cool, warmed itself up. It was running nice. It sounds nice and choppy, just the way I wanted it.
Nice. So 20 minutes. Now, what did you have to walk us through the procedure for how you had to do that tune? Because I didn't get to see that.
Yeah. So you just basically plug it in, and from there you retrieve the stock tune off the car. So the tuner takes the stock tune, puts it on the tuner itself, So then the car is left tuneless with all a bunch of lights on the dashboard, and it's telling you, check everything under the sun. And then you add the new tune in. I added this custom tune from Bama Performance. They have a race tune for this car. You give them the specs, the new cams, the new intake, and they put it together. And you upload it, and it tells you to turn the engine or turn the ignition on and off a couple times, and then it says you're good to go. So you start it up.
That's great.
That is
yeah.
Amazing.
So I took a nice long video for you of it starting up the first time, and it sounds really good.
How do you decide which tune to put in it? Like, what is?
Yeah, there's so many different places that tune it. Yeah, there's so many places. This was good because you could tell them exactly what you have in your car. You know, the cams I put in it, the cold air intake I put on it, and pretty much everything else is stock except for the exhaust. And they compile a tune just for your car. You could get crazier, bring it to a tuning shop, put it on a dyno, and have them tune it on a dyno. But for me, I'm not going to a racetrack. This is perfect for me.
Right. We race around Rick's area. We got the Oceanside race. We do the local street. Micah, you got to send me the links for the for that tuner, and then if there's links for the cam, because I want to put up a social media post. I'd like to hit the right people on that. So
yes, I will.
And I have the only thing I saw was the decal for the cold air kit, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send you all the links and stuff, and I took a bunch of pictures of everything. So
nice.
I'll have it all together for you.
Do you feel a big difference in the way a car rides or why it accelerates? Is that basically?
You know, I didn't really give it all it's got yet because it's a 93 octane tune, and I have 87. So I bought a can of octane booster just to get this tank out of the car so I could fill it with 93. But just around the block when I took it, the throttle response is so much different. That probably has to do with the tune. And just sitting at idle, give it a little bit of gas, the cam opens up the exhaust to a whole nother level. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable what this did to the car.
Yes.
Woke it up
it's
out of the grave.
Guys like our ears.
So now you know, Mike, what we went through when we were, you know, doing that. But we were changing the cam the old-fashioned way, like it's so like in the Chevelle. It hit me this morning how much easier it is to do a camshaft change on a newer car like that. I mean, it was literally valve covers and some wiring, and the cams are right there. No rocker arm adjustment. It was like, wow, that's really cool. I mean, we were busting our hump taking grills out of the car to get the camshaft out. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's not as hard as it came off to me. You know, it was pretty good. You know, when you have two people there that are pretty confident in what they're doing, it makes it a whole lot easier. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, so I guess if we'd been in a shop where we had two people that were really confident, it would have been really easy. Because we were both sitting there looking at each other. What we do is, you know, it's
exactly.
But it's always good to have someone that's a good tip, Mike. When you work with people, if you're the guy that you know what you're doing, all right, you do it. But like I had never done that job, and you had never done it. It's good to have somebody with you that you can bang off an idea or a thought. Yeah, we made a couple of decisions between us that were a little bit fugazi, you know, but it's what we had to do, and it's like, okay, yeah, this is what we're going to do. So you know, you go with the best case scenario. So
yeah, so that way you can't blame yourself; you can blame the party of people that are there. When you're talking to you're talking to your wife and daughters about it. Oh yeah, Mike messed it up. Yeah, he messed his own car up, and then I'm talking to my dad. Oh yeah, Ray messed it up.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm like, hey, Mike, put your hand on this ratchet. See if you can get a little more, because I know it's like at the point I can't get it anymore. If it's going to snap,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's gonna go. Let the other guy do it.
Yeah, but you know what? That with that comes the mutual of like, yeah, well, I'm going to fix it too. So, like, you know, that's why it's nice. You got to know who you're working with in the shop, and that's why you know your knucklehead friends. You don't let them near the place.
Yeah, you need to make sure you got all the stuff you need. Like on this specific car, you need the new phaser bolts. You can't reuse them. Many people on the internet has always said, you know, you're gonna mess up your car if you do that. Plenty of people mess up their car by not changing them. And you gotta have the right tools. The tools. Me and you both can't stress it enough. The tools are the difference between a good job and a great job.
And I'm holding the tool in my hands right now that I actually forgot to bring, the torque to yield meter.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Just so people know, what are those phaser bolts cost, Mike? You think of bolts, well, big deal, right?
Yeah, two bolts, probably about, 3 inches long. They cost $42 a piece.
Wow.
So you're looking at $84 investment in just bolts.
But what happens if those bolts, if you reuse the old ones, what can happen?
Basically, it backs off because there's a little end that grabs the camshaft, and if you try to reuse those, it doesn't grab anymore, and then the phaser bolt backs off the camshaft, and you have a loose camshaft, loose phaser, which is holding your timing chain, and then you got everything, valves flapping, pistons, and camshafts breaking, rocker arms breaking.
Can you bend the valves on something like that?
We call that Armageddon. I don't know if it's an interference. Not sure if it's an interference fit engine, but if it is, it's basically you're launching your motor. You know, your head's a toast. You know, and now you're looking. Now you're going to be in Danny's zone. Like, let's tear it apart, and we'll build like some kind of crazy NASCAR motor.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Luckily, that didn't happen. So
yeah,
we're good. How's the cat doing today? We have a shop cat now. I'm sure
she's good.
Sure, she's glad
good.
To
she's
see
hanging
you.
Out. Yeah, she's in the office, probably snoozing. That's her favorite thing to do, or eating.
Right. Yeah, you got to show up at 11 at night, see what she's doing.
Yeah, you're running around making a ruckus of the place.
Absolutely. Excellent. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for the update. We appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you for all your help yesterday, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That was Mike. And we'll lit up again. We got more calls on the phone here. Let's see. Who do we have? I don't know. Let's go with this one. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go back to the phone. Say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Thank you for all your help yesterday, and enjoy the
caller. No.
All right.
Let's try this one. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Sean from Cat Shadow.
Oh, good, Sean. What's up?
Hey, what's up? Listen, I only was calling in real quick just to tell you guys what I think, and I wanted to say, hey, I really appreciate your show. I appreciate your postings. I just came inside from putting my carburetor on my car. I just rebuilt this morning at the kitchen table. But I just wanted to tell you guys are awesome. And I just say thank you so much for the broadcast that you put on, the tips that you put out there. And I just thank you guys for being a lively crew of talking about cars. That's all, man.
Sean, thank you. Listen, I know that you're one of Joey's disciples. Uncle Joe was there.
Uncle Joe's my uncle. Yeah, that's my Uncle Joe. Yeah.
I know that. So we're holding up the fort while he's out. And I saw that post. I want to get involved with that a little more, but I really, because I've been doing carburetors for something like 40-something years.
You do a lot of them at the kitchen table, don't you?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, if there's anything you need to, you know, I mean, I know you got that one taken care of, but if there's any questions you have or anything you want to flesh out about carburetors, especially those Q-Jets, shoot it to me, brother. I'll be happy to talk to you about it.
Oh, sure. I'll throw questions when I got them, you know, whatever. Yeah, I took one off and I just put one on, and now the one I took off, that's the electric one. I really don't like the electronic one. I like the mechanical one, but since I have it in the house, I'm going to rebuild it anyway just to have it. That's what I do every year. Like, I'll swap one in and I'll pull the other one out and play with it and, you know, put it together or whatever.
What kind of car is it on?
My 82 Trans Am.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Tell people how they can find you on social media.
Oh, man, you can, on Instagram, you can look up catch_shadow. So it's just catch, C-A-T-C-H, and the underscore, and then shadow. You can look me up on YouTube at, Inside Shadow 3, which I'll post videos and things like that on there about things I'm doing with the car. And, you know, the angle is that if you catch Shadow in a photo and you post it on Instagram and put me in the post, I will swing back by, come get you, and give you a ride in Shadow.
That's cool.
So,
all right, Sean. Well, thank you very much for that. Thanks for the call. And stay in touch, brother. We'd love to keep in touch with you.
Oh, man, no problem, guys. Thank you guys for doing what y'all do.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All
righty. So long. That's great. Yes, he's one of Uncle Joe's disciples. So, we had another call. We missed it. Okay. So, that's it. Cliff, thanks for coming in today. This was great.
It's a lot of fun being here.
You know, it's always good when you call because you're one of the regulars and you know us, you know what we do. And, but it's always nice to have someone in the studio because now you don't have a phone connection to deal with.
I think I called a couple of my friends. I have a few extra friends out there listening today.
Well, let's see if this is one of them. Let's go on the phone and say hi. We're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, how you doing? This is Rick from Oceanside. I'm here with my brother Larry. We love the show, and you had a great guest today. I just wanted to touch base. I know Cliff has an extensive background with law enforcement, but so many scams right now on the internet when you're buying a car. So if you're out on Craigslist looking for a car, how do you know you're not being screwed around with a scam?
You know, Rick, that's a great topic. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to pin you down and have you call back on another show to follow up on this, because we only have about a minute left to this show. But so you know, I want you to come back. And maybe, you know, maybe we'll have you come in the studio and do this.
Rick and Larry, by the way, had some of the baddest cars in Canarsie back in the day.
Nice. But you're right. Scams are proliferate out. And that's, what the hell word was I looking for?
Some words.
You know what I mean? But, Rick, can you give us a quick tip on how you can stay free of that kind of stuff? Or
yeah, I think you got to be very careful. And, I'd love to hear Cliff's views on it, but we'll probably get to do a whole show on this sort of thing. But, yeah, with the holiday season coming up, you got to be very careful and not get, sucked into, giving any money out that you shouldn't be giving, or any sort of, transportation money up front. So you got to be very careful. But, I think there's a ton to talk about.
Okay.
Hey, great show today. And, hey, it's good having Cliff over there. Good guy to have behind you, Ray.
Thanks, Rick. We'll be in touch.
All right, guys.
All right.
Take care.
So long. All right, Cliff, we got to go. That's it. Motor Mouth Radio is over today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for Kim Tracy and Thunder Road, 90.3 WHPC.